Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag. Here's Elizabeth.
Love is the most powerful force in the universe, but it's always sacrificial. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we in our turn must lay down our lives for each other. The greatest act of all his life was done when he was helpless, powerless to do anything. And there's a great lesson there for you and me. When we feel as though our love has gone cold, or that we have no love whatsoever for that awful person that has made our lives so miserable, or that we know we're not really loving even those precious little children that God has given to us as we ought to, or we're not loving our husbands who have turned out to be such prize packages, you know, surprise packages. Let's remember that the greatest act of all Jesus' life was done when he was powerless to do anything. And it is as we come to the Lord in our nothingness, our powerlessness, our helplessness, that he then is able to enable us to love in a way which would be absolutely impossible. But now we come to the second point, the power to love. Some years ago, I had a letter from a very wealthy, high-powered businessman in Boston who, to my astonishment, wrote to say that he listened to Gateway to Joy. And the letter was a very unusual one, very articulate, and so we decided we would like to meet this man and his wife, and so my husband and I had dinner with them. And of course, the first thing that I wanted to know was, tell us your story. I love to hear people's stories, and I love to be able to tell people's stories. And so he spent about an hour. His wife didn't say a word. He sat there and told us how striving, how constantly he strove to make money, to be powerful, to be visible, to be known. All the things that the world goes after, you know, it says in Revelation that there's only one who is worthy, and that is the Lamb, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And that's a complete list. That is an exhaustive list of what the world is after: power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And Jim was after all of those things. But he said, I met a guy on the railroad station platform when we were waiting for the commuter train, and he invited me to a Bible class. And I went to that Bible class, and I became a Christian. Of course, he gave us many more details. But he said, you know what God said to me right off the bat, as soon as I became a Christian, as soon as I made up my mind, I want this, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. What do you think God said to him? Go home and love your wife. What's that got to do with power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing? What's it got to do with big money and big visibility? Well, he and his wife had had a miserable marriage, and they were on the verge of a divorce. But he said, I made up my mind that I would do what God said. And he went home, and he began to love his wife in a way that he had never loved her before. And when he finally finished his side of the story, then of course I was eager to hear hers. I said, was there a difference? She said, there was a difference like night and day. She said, it was so radical and so sudden and so overwhelming, I couldn't believe it. I thought, this guy's got to be faking it. But she said, you know, he faked it for a whole year. He said, finally, I had to come to terms with what had happened to this man. And of course, he had told me what had happened. It was a complete reversal of his natural sense of values. And that couple, of course, is still together. The sequel to the story is he gave up his job. He went to Indiana to teach in a little unheard of Christian college where he could teach economics or something. I don't remember what it was. Gave up all that fortune and fame that he was looking for. And I don't think they'd been there more than about 6 weeks, maybe 2 months, when she came down with one of the most virulent forms of cancer. Fast-moving, dangerous, almost untreatable. And I don't know what the diagnosis is today. I'm sure that if she had died by now, he would have let us know, because he's kept us up with the progress of this terrible disease. But he loves her. And they learned the omnipotence of love. It is all-powerful. It will change your world. 1 John 3:10 to 15. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Not a child of God. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And Jim and Lizzie's marriage was death, as long as they did not love each other. And of course, you have to get rid of all those Hollywood notions of what love is about, romance and warm fuzzies and feeling good about each other and excitement and all the Roman candles going off and the stars and stripes forever and all the rest of this stuff that Hollywood is continually dishing out. Just absolute rubbish. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers, and anyone who does not love remains in death. And I dare say there might be somebody here this morning who is remaining in death because you refuse to love. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Jesus spoke to the man with the withered hand, and he said, "Stretch forth your hand." Now that was an impossibility, wasn't it? That is the one thing that that man could not possibly do. And here were all these vultures of Pharisees just surrounding Jesus, waiting to catch him in something, because it was Sunday, it was the Sabbath. And he wasn't supposed to heal anybody on the Sabbath, according to the Pharisees. And so they were just eager to find evidence against him. And Jesus was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. And he said, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent, and he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man listened to Jesus, not to the Pharisees, and he stretched out his hand. He did the impossible thing. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. And what was the Pharisees' response? They went out and began to plot how they might kill Jesus. They could not stand it. And the devil can't stand it. And the non-Christians can't stand it. If we begin to act against our will, our feelings, and according to the will of God. Several years ago, I was speaking in Boston, and a lady came, and she heard me say one thing that stuck in her mind. And that was that we must love our enemies. And of course, I was quoting Jesus' words. And Jesus said, that we are to treat one another as we would treat Christ. Matthew 25:40 was the verse that I quoted. Inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it for me. And she went out of there just in a fury. This stuff that Elizabeth Elliot gives, you know, it's absolutely impossible. It's ridiculous. It's outrageous. How am I supposed to love this man that I'm married to? And she was fuming. But before she got home, she said, I made up my mind. I am going to try it. And she walked in and she found her husband, as usual, sitting on the sofa, like a mummy, she said, looking at the TV. And she had put up with 33 years of that, and they had already decided, just shortly before this meeting, that they were going to get a divorce because they couldn't stand each other, never had been able to, and they thought, what's the point of being miserable for whatever few years we've got left? So they were going to get a divorce. So she walks in there and she said, here he is, as usual, looking like a mummy, looking at the TV, and I could not stand that sight. But she said, the Lord gave me grace to say to him, honey, may I speak to you for a moment? And for the first time in 33 years, he turned off the TV to listen. Well, then she said, I didn't know what to say. What do you say when you're talking to Jesus? It's Jesus sitting on the sofa. Inasmuch as you've done it for him, you've done it for me, Jesus said. What am I supposed to say? And she said, forgive me. And she began to list her wrongs against her husband. That was not what she was intending to do at all. And he stopped her before she got halfway through the list, and he said, wait a minute, honey. He said, I've got a few things to confess to you, too. And in no time at all, God had given them the power to love each other. And she said, Elizabeth, we have fallen in love in a way that we never dreamed, even in our engagement period.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.